And glad that you're here. We ask you to open your minds and open your Bibles. Some things that you will study together. And we hope that they will be profitable to you. But more than that, we hope that they'll be true as the best of my ability to the Word of God. We have many visiting in our audience this morning up here sitting with Rita. There are some very good friends of ours, Don and Jeanette Boyle. They're on their way to Mississippi to see her, their daughter. And they've stopped by to see us. They were very dear friends of ours while we were in Knollwood, and we're sure glad to see them and glad that they're here and hope they have a safe journey to Mississippi. I'm sorry I didn't spend more time with them when they came in. I'm going to make sure that I might not put myself on there again. too much to do. Summer is here. I know you don't believe it, but we did have a day this week, 87. And when summer comes a change in our wardrobe. And not because of the calendar, but just because of the climate, there's time and opportunity that we need to do lessons like this. And I want to ask you a question. Does it matter how the Christian dress? Does it matter? Does it matter how we dress? And what kind of apparel that we wear, and do we wear apparel that is appropriate, and is it modest? And I'm going to make a lot of applications in this lesson, and I want you to pay very close attention to. If you have any questions concerning the things that I'm about to say, or this evening or tonight, I'd be more than happy to entertain those. I'm going to try to tell you where I have come down on this and my study of God's Word and hope that it will be a benefit to you. First of all, when we ask how a Christian should dress, we're trying to seek a general appeal. We want you to think, we want you to look at yourself, and we want you to analyze or realize that clothing sends a message. Now, brethren, I know that many people do not believe that. But you talk to anybody in business, and you talk to anybody who has a business where they have to make an impression to someone, that the way they dress is going to be something that they're going to be judged by. And so we're not going to be exempt ourselves from that in our everyday living. And so I could be wrong. Some of my clothing could be immodest. Now, whenever we talk about modesty and immodest apparel, everybody draws their mind into swim clothing. We'll talk about that. But that you don't have to wear a bathing suit to be immodest. And you don't have to wear something that is cut too low or hiked up too high in order to be immodest. You can be immodest in your body movements. You can be immodest in how you wear clothing. And we're going to talk about all of that. And I want you to take close application, and I want you to look at yourself. I don't want you to look at me or Mel or Tim or my wife or Lou or someone else and try to compare. You look at your life. You look at how you fit into this subject, and we'll see if we can all benefit from it. We need to be open-minded, and that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be open-minded. Now, if you're going to ask me if the church has a dress code, I'd say no. If you ask, do I wish that was different, I'd say yes. Because I'm concerned, because I see a lack of respect for God in the way that we dress. Now, I don't see any this morning, but come back here at 6:30 tonight, and that's a different question. Now, I want you to think about something. I'm going to get this off my chest in the very beginning. I'm just going to mention this once, and then I'm going to leave it alone. On Sunday nights, we come together to do the same things that we do Sunday morning, except that those who have already partaken the Lord's Supper and give, we give others the opportunity to do that. Is Sunday evening any different than Sunday morning in calling it a worship service? No, it's not. It is a worship service. We gather together to worship and honor God. Then why do we dress differently Sunday night than we do Sunday morning? Here's what our dress says. Our dress says it's not as important. It says that it's not as important because we don't take the same time and we don't wear the same clothing, and therefore it's not as important as Sunday morning. And then we could go to Wednesday night and we can make the same argument. Now, I've long given up the argument about Wednesday night Bible study. If you ever see me, and I've been here now for 9 months, and when I teach class, and when I'm up here, and when I'm in this thing, I'm going to have a coat, I'm going to have a tie, or I'm going to have a tie and a sweater, but I'm going to be dressed in the way that you see me. I have a very, very strong conviction that when you come in the presence of God, that you wear the best that you have because you're in the presence of the King. That is my conviction. That is my personal conviction. I try to live by that, and I've always tried to live by that. And I want you to know that I don't live by that because I'm a preacher. I just always have believed that. I was taught that. It's kind of embedded in my mind. And I don't care how society goes, I just can't treat the services of the church as some casual coming together, whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, or a gospel meeting. And I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you to have my conviction. That's my conviction. What I am asking you is if you make a conscious effort to dress differently Sunday morning and Sunday night, then you need to ask yourself why. What reason is there to do so? And maybe you can help me. Maybe it's a mind block for me. But this dressing down is very alarming to me because I think it sends a message that we don't need to look at Sunday evening like we do Sunday morning. And I believe that's a mistake. I got off my soapbox. What is the standard? What standard do we use for how we dress? Is it the world? Well, I know you know better than that. Is it my parents? Well, it will be for a while. But eventually you'll leave home and then you're going to have to make those decisions for yourself. What about your preacher? No. It was your preacher's and this, you just heard what my standard would be. So no, I'm not the standard either. What about the elders? No, they're not the standard either. They're the overseers of the church, but they don't set the standard for dress. What about what I've always thought or done? Well, I'm afraid that's not the answer either. And so the answer has got to be Scripture. We must test all things, hold fast to what is good. And so whatever conclusion we reach, we've got to do it by God's standard. Not by what I think, not by what I think or what we've always done. Well, let me add one other thing that's not on this chart. Tradition. Now, if we go by tradition, tradition changed. You know, I can remember older preachers telling me that Luther Blackman, who was a preacher many years ago, that he used to cut his grass with a shirt and tie. I'm going to tell you, I cut my grass Friday, but I didn't have no shirt and tie on. Okay, and but if you want to cut your grass with a shirt and tie, I don't got a problem. Hope you have lots of money because you're going to probably eventually wear that stuff out. But again, that's a change in culture. But brethren, culture and times don't determine what's right and what's wrong. We have to use God's word as a standard to judge about how we dress. And that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to take the appeal of what the Scripture says. The Bible sets the guidelines about dress. Not me, not you, not the church, not a group of elders, but the guidelines are given in the Bible. And you got to ask yourself, to violate God's standard is to act outside His will. Now, we know that about anything else. You know, if you violate God's will in your personal conduct, you know that's a sin. You're not going to argue against that. If you go out and drink or gamble or dance or do a lot of other things that the world does and you know that's behavior that's unbecoming a Christian and you know that violates the standard, you know that's a sin. And so you don't have any problem about that. Well, why do we have a problem with this? Well, one of the reasons that we do is because it's not laid out as plain as other things. There's more judgment that has to be made. And I want you to know that I understand that there's judgment that has to be made. And you're going to have to make it. What I'm asking you to do is to look at the judgment you make and why you make it. That's what I want us all to do. Look at how we arrive at what we dress and with the judgments that we make. Now, question is, do you desire to dress in harmony with the Bible? Now, I believe that you do. I believe all of us do. We want to dress in a way that's appropriate and in accordance with God's word. If so, then you will listen, appreciate, and you'll follow. You'll not be a hearer of the word only, but you'll be a doer of the word. And that's what we're all trying to do. And if not, you will not be rejecting me. You will not be rejecting my conclusions. You will be rejecting God. Because God said, Jesus himself said in John chapter 12, he said in John chapter 12, he said, you can reject my words, but that same word will judge you in the last day. It's not going to be my standard that you're going to have to give an account to. It's not going to be the church at Harrisburg standard that you're going to give an account to. You're going to give an account to God. And so we need to make sure that we're in agreement with God. Now let me show you a clip here. Now this looks like a regular bathrobe, but I put this on here for a question. Someone's at the door. Someone needs to answer it. Mother says, I'm not dressed. So somebody else is going to have to get it. Well, I'm dressed, I'll get it. No, I'm dressed. It's probably my friends. We're going to the river. We're going to Wild River County. Now, brethren, I want you to know in the world, either one of these is acceptable apparel for what they're going to be doing. This is acceptable swimwear, and this is acceptable for every day just going out with your friends. But she knows that she's not dressed, but these other two don't have a clue. Why is that? I'm going to tell you why it is. Because they are letting the world set the standard. Now you say, well, Keith, we got more sense than that. And we got more sense than that. Think so? Let's see. Let's see if we've got more sense than that. Now, why do people dress immodestly? Well, I guess it depends on who you ask, but I got some reasons, I think. Some are ignorant and untaught. They don't understand because they've never been taught and never thought about it. Number two, a lot of times because they want to fit in. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be different than anybody else. I want to, you know what's in today? Go to high school. Just sit out in the parking lot and watch people going in and out of there. Young men have their jeans about down to here. I don't know, that may be fashionable, but is it modest? Is it modest to show off your undergarments? Is that modest? I know it's stylish, but is it modest? That's the question. You see, people want to fit in. They just don't think about it because they're going to dress like everybody else. They want to be bold and turn heads. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you'll turn heads. There's no doubt about that. I was at Kings Island a number of years ago, and one of those young men that had his pants all the way down. You know what? That kind of took me back for a minute. But you know, he didn't miss a beat. He just got it up, pulled him up before, and went on his way like nothing happened. Well, you can turn heads, but again, is that what you're trying to do? We don't realize how they actually look. No, I don't think they do. Look in a mirror. Look and see how they look to someone else. Maybe you wouldn't do that. And they're careless and they don't stop to think. I think all of those things are included. It may be a combination of them. It may be all of them. But there's reasons why people dress the way they do. But brethren, here's my question. How about divine principles? Do we ever think about divine principles? Do we allow the world standard to influence us? And brethren gradually get looser and looser. Brethren, I want to tell you something this morning. This is not just a problem for the world anymore. This is a problem among God's people. I have been a helper on the Lord's table. And I have had to take the bread, and when I passed it down, I had to turn my head to not look at a sister who was dressed immodestly. And this is in a conservative church. Don't tell me that this is not a problem for us. It is. We are allowing the world to influence us, not just what we wear, but how we wear it. And so we need to be careful that we're not getting loose with our thinking in the way that we dress. Now, what are the biblical principles? Let's talk about the biblical principle. Turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at some biblical principle. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now let's explain the text for a minute. That the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Ladies, do you realize and are you aware that almost every passage in the scripture that talks about modest apparel is directed toward the female gender? Do you realize that? Now ask me why. I know why. At the same time, the passages that deal with lust and lasciviousness, they are directed to the male gender. Why? I know the answer to that too. Lust and lasciviousness is directed to the man because he is 10 times more observant and excited by what he sees with his eyes than a woman is. Now, any of us that have been on this earth for any length of time know that this is true. Man first sees sight. He is enticed, first of all, and his mind can go to lust because of what he sees. Now, that's wrong, that's sinful, and that's a violation of God's word because they are lacking self-control. But what is causing his mind to go to the wrong place? It many times is a woman who is not dressing modestly. Now, when I was in Las Vegas, I beat this horse until you couldn't ride it anymore. And there was a group of elders at the first congregation I attended that said, "Well, if you lust because of how I'm dressed, that's your problem." That is absolutely, 100% absolutely wrong. If my sister is dressing in an immodest way, that is not my problem, that is also your problem. Because if you're dressing in such a way that you entice those of the opposite sex, then you are guilty of sin. Now let me make that clear that that's exactly what the Bible teaches. You are to dress, adorn modest apparel, in moderation. And what are you to profess? You are to profess godliness with good works. Well, to understand that, we have to understand the definition of words. So let us define what this means. Respectable, honorable. Now, do you have any problem understanding what that is? Respectable. Our clothing must be respectable and it must be honorable. It must be well arranged. Seemingly, that's what Thayer says. Orderly, well arranged, decent. And then, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says, the well ordering is not of dress and demeanor only, listen to what it says, but the inner life uttering indeed and expressing itself in the outward conversation. And that word means manner of life. Your clothing gives a message of what is inside of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The clothing that I wear and how I wear it sends a signal concerning the inner part of me that men cannot see, and it says something about me. Now, brethren, you may not like that, but that indeed is a fact. If people reach conclusions based on what they see by how we dress. Now, is that true or false? That's true. And you know the old saying, you only get one time to make a first impression. So Christians, People's New Testament commentary defines modesty as in simple attire which does not attract attention. Now, ladies, Does that mean you can't wear gold or silver or have a necklace or have a ring? If you do, I'd violate the scripture with this ring I got on. No. But if it's gaudy, if it's worn, whatever it might be, to draw attention to me, so people will look at me, then that becomes sinful. I'm going to tell you something. People dress immodestly to be seen, folks. I don't care what they tell you. When some black girl goes out in a short skirt and a low top, she wants people to see her. That's why she's dressed that way. She wants to be noticed, and she'll get noticed. And so we need to understand that our dress can attract attention. And any clothing, you know what? I like color, but I'm not going to wear a rainbow suit up here. For one, Rita would never let me do it, but number two, I wouldn't do it. I want to tell you a story. I had a yellow jacket that I used to wear, and people kept calling me a banana. One time, one of my brethren sat in the front row with a pair of sunglasses on, so I quit wearing it. Now, I didn't think it was wrong, but if it was attracting attention, then I'll get rid of it. You see, I like pink, but I'm not going to buy a pink jacket. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, and it's not wrong to wear pink. I broke down a few years ago and bought a pink shirt, but again, I'm not going to dress in a way that I'm trying to draw the attention to me. Bible knowledge commentary. An appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, free from obstination. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashion. And brethren, I couldn't say it any plainer. We've got to be very careful, brethren, that we don't allow the culture around us and the world that we live in to determine what's honorable, what's modest, and what... Let me tell you what. In the world, that's modest. Now, brethren, in the world, that's modest. And they would argue with you to the blue streak that it's modest. And I'm saying that that's not the standard. The standard is that we dress in a way that shows godliness, and we profess our inner being. Now, how would I sum it up? Here's how I'd sum it up. It's more reserved. It's humble. Well, preacher, how do you dress in humility? That's easy. You don't draw attention to yourself. You're not trying to stand out. You do respectable. You do it decent. And an orderly, that's an important word, brethren. What does that word orderly mean? You know what that word means? It means that which is appropriate. Appropriate for the occasion. You know what? This word makes my argument why I dress the way I do. I dress orderly, appropriate for the occasion. Let me ask you something, brethren. I want you to be honest. I don't want you to raise your hand, but you tell me later. What would you do? Some of you have seen me in my Hawaiian shirt. You know, I wear it a lot during the day because it's cool when it gets hot. The air goes right through it. But what would you do if I came in here on Sunday morning and wore my blue jeans and that shirt and I got up here in the pulpit? You'd say, Keith lost his mind. But you know what? Would you think that would be disrespectful to God? Would it? Let me tell you what happened a few years ago. Well, more than a few years ago. I was sitting in the audience on a Sunday night in Las Vegas. And this has not only happened in Las Vegas. It's happened in other places. But I'm going to use the Las Vegas example because it stands out. And you know, Sunday night we have a couple people waiting on the table. Well, the two guys that got up that night, the one had a yellow shirt like Don's here, but it was dark yellow. It wasn't yellow like that, it was dark yellow. And it had a picture of a pig on the front and the curly Q tail on the back. He had just got back from Iowa. The other fella had a t-shirt on that had a Rambo skeleton t-shirt on when the Rambo movies were. And both of these two men are waiting on the table. I'm sitting about where Rita's at. And I am going slower and lower in my seat. And you know why that bothered me? It distracted away from this. You know what really bothered me about that? You know who put those two people up there? The elders of that church, because they always selected the people to wait on the table and lead in prayer at the time of the service. Soon as the amen is said, soon as the amen got said, I walked over to the elder and I said, "What are you doing? Have you lost your scruples? What are you doing having those two men?" He goes, "Well, Keith, what's the problem?" He says, "What did you see the way the two guys were dressed?" He said, "What was wrong with how they were dressed?" I said, "Brother Wells, how do you set your mind upon the cross of Christ looking at the back of a pig?" He said, "I didn't have any problem." "Well, you're a better man than me." I think that's disrespectful, brethren. I think that's a blaspheming thing to do. It desecrates what this table means. But I've seen people get up here in blue jeans on Sunday night. They would never do it on Sunday morning. And see, that's where my problem is, brethren. Is it less of a supper in the morning than it is in the evening? Is it less of a commemoration of the death of Christ at night than it is in the evening, in the morning? And yet we dress like it's just a common meal. Brethren, there's something wrong with that. It shows a lack of respect. We are observing the death of Jesus Christ. We are giving honor to the death of the Son of God who died to make us free. And I think He deserves the best I got. That's orderly. That's what that means. Now, there's another word that we don't use a lot, but we ought to. Shamefacedness. Comes from a Greek word, adoros. A sense of shame or honor. Modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, respect. A sense of shame. You know what I like about that definition? Reverence and bashfulness. Have we lost the ability to blush? You know, God's people did. In Jeremiah chapter 6, in listing the steps to apostasy, He said that my people have forgotten how to blush. I believe we live in a society that has forgotten how to blush. They're not only irreverent in their behavior, they're brazen about it. They don't think anything about it. But brethren, can we dress like that? Can we think like that? I don't think so. Those who dress don't dress in such a way that the imagination has little else, if anything, to imagine. What would it take to get them to blush? I don't even want to think. I don't maybe think of some people, it's not possible. You know, sometimes I'm out in Walmart and I see people come out and I'm thinking, did they look in a mirror before they went out? And if they did, what did they see? Some guy in the neighborhood is out cutting his grass, takes his shirt off, and his belly hangs over to here. Does he ever look? What does it look like? I mean, I'm not trying to be double standard. Men can dress immodestly too. You know, you've got to understand, other people see you. What do they see when they look at you? Now, brethren, I want you to think about that. What do other people... Am I responsible for what other people think? You know what? If I dress orderly and I dress in a reverent and in a bashful manner, I'm not going to have to worry about what people think about me. But if you dress irreverently or you dress in a way that's not modest, what are people going to think? I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me very carefully, ladies. When you dress with tight clothing and you dress with the lower tops, men are not going to think very well of your character. It may look nice, but they're not going to think well of your character. We have three daughters. I see young ladies out today with things our kids would have never got out the door. You know why? Because I don't want somebody thinking ill thoughts of my daughter. I don't want my people thinking my daughter is a streetwalker. Oh, she would have fit in. They were three beautiful girls. But they didn't dress like that because they knew that their clothes made statements, and it also caused men. Now, I know what, I got this argument in California. Well, you know, a man could lust after you wearing a potato sack with it tied up to the top. Yes, they could. But that's not your fault, is it? Unless it's a real tight potato sack, maybe. That wouldn't be your fault, would it? If you're dressed immodestly and somebody lusts, that's not your sin. You didn't do anything to cause that. But if you're dressed immodestly, then you have a part in that. That doesn't justify the lust. That's sin. Don't leave here thinking that I think it's okay to lust if somebody's dressing inappropriate. I don't. Both are a sin. But you have a part in that, and you need to understand that. Another word. I'm not even about to try to pronounce this. Sorcerer sin, which seems translated sobriety, moderation. It means soundness of mind, sound judgment, practically expresses the meaning. It is that habitual inner self-government with its constant reign on all the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation to these from arising. And what that's saying in English is that I'm not going to dress in any way that's going to inhibit and help people to lust after me. I'm going to do the best in my ability to dress in such a way that I'm not going to cause someone to lust. That's what God is saying, and that's what orderly and appropriate. One other word, theosbeis, it denotes the fear or reverence of God. This word talks about understanding my responsibility to God. Devoutness, piety. Darby says, profession of fear of God. Profess to worship God. It's a reverent term. We understand that it's an expression of our love and devotion to God, how we dress. Now, let me ask you a question. Nakedness. Anybody think anybody got a problem that being naked would be a sin? I think we'd be in agreement on that, wouldn't we? What does nakedness mean? Well, keep means no clothes. Not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. Unclad, without clothing, ill-clad, or clad in undergarments only. That's from Thayer. Badly clad, not fully clothed. That's from Kittle. Lightly clad, from, and these are Greek lexicons that do nothing but define words. Nakedness could be badly clad, not fully clad, lightly clad, or in undergarments only. All of them would be considered nakedness in God's definition of nakedness. One can still be wearing clothing and still be naked. So you let that sink in for a minute. One could still wear clothing and yet could be considered naked. Now, let's go back for a minute to Genesis 3. Remember after the sin? Remember when they ate of the tree that God told them not to? And what's the first thing that they realized? Oh, we're naked. And they were ashamed. And what they did is they tried to fix their nakedness. How did they fix it? Well, they were naked. And in Genesis 2, it says, the man and the woman were naked and not ashamed. Okay, in Genesis 2, they're not ashamed. When they learn to discern between good and evil, now they're ashamed, and they recognize they're still being naked by all relatively, but they make aprons for themselves to hide their nakedness. And so they made some type of clothing in order to hide their nakedness. Now, did God think what they made was appropriate? No. The Lord God made tunics of skin, listen to this, and clothed them. They were naked here, and when they tried to put aprons on to hide their nakedness, God said, they're still naked. So God killed some animals and made tunics and clothed them. Now you see, these garments, these are biblical representations of tunics. You see how far down they go? I said, well, Keith, that's just a picture. Well, yeah, it is. But you know, I got that from somewhere. Here is a picture of a tunic. That's a little longer, don't you think? I got that out of an encyclopedia. That was a tunic in the time of the biblical time period. Now, let's read what the International Standard Bible Dictionary says. The original ISB, and that's International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, on dress says, resembles a Roman tunic, corresponding most nearly to the long shirt, reaching below the knee always, and in case it was designed for dress occasion, reaching almost to the ground. The chiton of the peasantry was shorter than the modern kamix of Syrian, which is to the knee. Now all of that is longer than what we would say that modesty is, or short. Now, from the shoulder to the knee is how it's defined in the Bible. Nakedness is considered anything below here in the Bible is considered nakedness. Now, am I saying that means all women got to wear long dresses? No. I'm saying God made a standard. Now, here's another word for you. A tunic, generally with sleeves coming down to the knees, rarely to the ankles. The tunic was a shirt which was worn next to the skin. It was made of leather, hair cloth, wool, linen, or modern times, usually of cotton. And it was rarely to the ankles, normally to the knees. Now, the simplest form of it was without sleeves, reached to the knees or sometimes to the ankles. Women as well as men wore it, although there was no doubt a difference in style and pattern in which was worn by the two, and that comes from Manners and Customs of Bible Lands on page 91. Now, what about biblical principle? Remember the high priest? Remember when he went into the holy place? And you shall make them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thigh. And he says, so when they walked up to the holy place, they would not expose their nakedness. Exposing the thigh was equal to exposing one's nakedness. That's what God's book says. Now, Isaiah 7:2 says the same thing. Remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame shall be seen. Uncover the thigh, your nakedness shall be uncovered. That's what the biblical principle is. Now, how short is short? I'm going to use this chair. How many of you men or ladies have seen women in a dress or with a skirt sit down and they're always doing this? Why are they doing that? Because they believe it's too short. So they're trying to pull it down. So you could have a skirt that's at an appropriate length, but how does it look when you sit down? And you cross your legs, and the skirt hikes up. Is it still modest? What does it look like to somebody who's sitting across from you and looking at you? When you have a skirt that you continually got to pull down, and then when you sit down and you cross your leg, it's even shorter than when you're standing up. I think you can figure that out for yourself. Ladies, about low tops. Well, when you're standing up, it's fine. What happens when you bend over? There's a lady in Ohio who's a dear friend of Rita's and I. And one morning she wore a blue dress. And it was a nice dress, but it was cut about here. And I never noticed it until I saw two or three young men when she was gathering her books to put them in her bag, and she was bent over like this, putting the books in her bag, and there were two young men standing here and getting a lesson in sex education. Now, it was fine when she was standing up, but when she bent over, it exposed her breast. I went and had a talk with that woman, and it was very uncomfortable. But you know what? She didn't know. And what she did is she made a clasp for the top of that dress. And you know what else she did? She was mindful of being careful who was in front of her when she was putting her books in her bag. Brethren, there may be something that is appropriate when you're standing up. But when you're bending over, you're showing way too much. And you're showing something that only belongs if you're married to your husband and not to anybody else. Now, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm trying to get you to realize that you need to think about the way you dress. And I'll give you one other thing to think about. What about when you're out doing yard work? It's hot outside. You're going to wear shorts. You ladies, you're out doing your flower bed. And you're going to do shorts, and you're going to bend over, and you're going to fall with your flowers or with anything. What about the people that drive by, men, and see you bent over like that? With your shorts hiked up. Is that modest? Brother, you know what? We just don't think about it. We just don't think about it. And the same thing can be said for tight clothing. If your clothing is so tight that you can't move, what does it do when you move for people who watch you move in it? You ever seen men and women who wear clothes so tight it's like it was glued on them? And you know what that does, ladies and men? It exposes, and what it does is it puts front and center things that will cause lustful thoughts. Now, brethren, I'm not saying you're doing it intentionally, but I'm saying you may not be aware that how you're dressing and the clothes that you have on, the message it could be sending, if you're not very careful with how you bend, how you turn, that it can cause things to be exposed and things to be highlighted that should not be highlighted. Now, brethren, you got to make the judgment. But I think I've given you enough information this morning to understand that if your dress causes another person to lust, God's going to hold you accountable for that. And I'm not saying that any one of you are doing it intentionally, but I'm saying that you need to be aware the danger of clothing that is loose or clothing that could expose something if you're caught in a position where you're bent over or turned and you're exposing something that should not be exposed. We need to understand. In the last slide this morning, good judgment, moderation, self-control. Moderation would hold in check on restraint. Anything with propriety would be exposed. Now, here's what I want you to think about this afternoon. Our dress should be modest. Modesty tells us what's right. Propriety tells us to recognize the limitations. And moderation tells us to keep us from going beyond the limitations. You have to put all three to work in order to dress modestly. You have to be modest, you have to be properly dressed in propriety, and you have to do it in moderation. Now, brethren, we will be judged by how we dress. God does have a standard. Many people think God has no dress code. Yes, God does. And God expects us to expect to dress orderly, with propriety, respectfully, with reverence, and in understanding that our clothes send a message to others who see them. I want you to consider that tonight. We're going to talk about our dress and our actions and its effects on others. We'll talk about that tonight. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we won't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity to rendering obedience to the gospel. Rendering obedience to the gospel will put you into the family of God. It will take away your sin. It will take you from being lost to being saved. It will change your state. You'll be one that was outside of Christ to be one that is inside of Christ. You'll be one that is lost, that you'll be saved. You'll be one that was not in the family of God, but now you are in the family of God. And you'll be one that was alienated from God, but now you'll be reconciled to Him. Hearing the Word of God will produce faith in your life. Faith that will motivate you to be obedient and render obedience. How am I going to do that? I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to turn away of them, and I'm going to turn towards God. And then I'm going to confess His name before men, the faith and the love that I have for Him in my heart, that I also want to make a public awareness of that. And also that I'm going to live my life, I'm going to be His servant, and I'm going to be faithful. That confession will be seen by anybody that sees the way that I live. Then I'm going to submit to baptism to contact the blood of Christ that washes away a man's sin. And then you must live faithfully until death or until the Lord comes again, whichever comes first. But if you're here and you are a child of God and you've not lived in such a way and you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, we'll pray with you and for you. We're told in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. We can help you in any way. We bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.